Good morning, everybody. Lord God, we thank you for this day. Lord, we just come to you, Lord, expecting, because you're a God that gives. Help us to be a people that receive. Send forth your word this morning. May we learn from you. Lord, I pray that you'd open up heaven for us. I pray, Lord, that you'd open up our hearts to receive what you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, good morning, everybody, once again. Can't say that too many times, but I'll try. Signs of the times. Years ago, I was driving down to California. I was living in Oregon. I was driving down Highway 97 in southern Oregon, and around the trip down there, I noticed three signs that got my attention. Actually, it was two signs and a bumper sticker. I guess that's a sign. The first one was a sign that is Oregon is my favorite road sign anywhere. And I've been all over the country, back and forth, driving a truck. My favorite sign is don't pass snow plows on the right. Have we given up on common sense? I can picture in my mind that happening, because I know there's people out there that would do it. We need a sign on our coffee cup saying the coffee is hot. We need a sign on our knives saying they're sharp. It used to be you go to auto parts store and you can get instructions on how to adjust your valves. Now you get instruction about not drinking the battery water. I'm expecting to see a sign on a banana that says peel before eating. Even monkeys know that. And actually, monkeys are smarter than us because, and it disproves evolution, I think, how they eat a banana. How do we eat a banana? Right up there at the stem, we snap it there and we peel it there. A monkey will turn it over and he'll peel it from the other end. That's true. Right where that little knob is on the end. It's actually easier, but that doesn't stop us, right? You know, I've been thinking for a long time that our society, I wouldn't blame it on the government, of course, but that we're being dumbed down. Have we given up on common sense? It would seem so. The next sign I saw was the bumper sticker. And it said, get a grip. It's only a lane change. Have we given up on civility? I learned a long time ago not to turn my signal on if I want to change lanes in heavy traffic. They'll block you. I guess they think it's roller derby or something. They don't want me scoring that point. How many people have you offended today? It's still early, right? How do we react to things? If someone wants to change lanes, you know, shouldn't we let them? But people get really upset. Get a grip. It's only a lane change. Our attitude is based, I think, 90%, 10% on what happens to us and 90% on how we react to it. Why can't we be a people that just reacts nicely to things? It's almost like we're looking for offense. The third sign I saw was down near Klamath Falls. It was in the middle of the road, or in the median between the two roads there. And it said, full service truck stop here soon. And I thought, well, that's good. We could use a truck stop here. There's Molly's truck stop there in Klamath Falls, and that's a nice truck stop. I've stopped there many times, but can't have too many truck stops. But then I noticed that the sign wasn't exactly new. It was weather-worn. It was kind of leaning on one side, and one of the posts had been there for a while. Full-service truck stop here soon. Have we given up on hope? What do we base our hope on? A broken-down sign? I base my hope on the Word of God. All my life you have been faithful. I'm so happy you sang that song. I'm so happy you sang it today because I know I asked you to learn that song and to do that song. But I really needed it today. And I think I'm probably not the only one here that needed that song today. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. Full service truck stop here soon. Just take your lawn chair out there and sit down and wait for it. I had a geology teacher tell me, or he told the whole class, which included me. I was paying attention that day. He said that one of the best real estate investments you can make is in the floor of the Hudson Bay because it's rising. So he said, and I know I stole his words, you take your lawn chair and sit out there and claim it. Of course, it's going to take several million years, but it's rising. Full service truck stop here soon. That word soon. Obviously, that truck stop isn't going to be there soon, is it? The Bible says Jesus is coming back soon. Well, maybe that truck stop will be there before Jesus comes back, but yet maybe he won't. In the meantime, we have to wait. God's making us wait. Why? I believe that he wants to make sure that everybody that's going to be saved is saved. And he knows the number. He knows who they are. Yes, it's our decision, but yet he knows. We don't like waiting, do we? I remember when I was a kid. This is before my sister was born, so I was the youngest. I had two older brothers. And Christmas morning, guess who was asked or kind of forced to go wake up Mom and Dad? Me. And that usually started about 1 o'clock in the morning. And usually my parents had just gotten to bed. Our lights were always the first ones on in the neighborhood, in the little town we lived in. Christmas morning. We don't like waiting. You know, I felt kind of cheated, though, because when my sons were born, I had to wake them up. That's not how it's supposed to work, is it? But we don't like waiting. There's a writer, he writes a lot of Christian fiction. His name is T. Davis Bunn. And he said something about waiting in his book, The Amber Room, that got my attention. He says, the waiting was hard. Waiting always was. The word alone meant that control, action, and power had slipped from his hands. Does God want us to give up control, action, power? He wants us to rely on him. And you know what? God doesn't mind waiting, does he? His idea of time and our idea of time is different. We see that in Habakkuk 2:3. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. And I've shared this before, but that's just one of the most amazing things I've read in the Bible. Though it tarries, it won't tarry. I think the problem we have with that verse is that we're thinking in our perception of time, and God is thinking of His. Though it tarries, though it seems like it's taken a long time, you know, Jesus isn't here yet. He's coming. But yet, you know, in God's time, it's not going to be late. Galatians 4:4 says, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. In the fullness of time. You see that phrase one way or another all through in many places in the Bible. The fullness of time. He has an appointed time for everything He has planned. Acts chapter 2. Or Acts chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were waiting. They were waiting for the Holy Spirit. Jesus promised the Holy Spirit. And when it had fully come, the day had fully come. What's that word? I heard you say that, Bob. Suddenly. I'm coming soon. You know that maybe that isn't in the amount of time we have to wait for it. Maybe that's when He does come, all of a sudden, it's suddenly. Because that's the way He does things. I've seen it time and time again. I've seen where He's where you've been waiting for something from God. And all of a sudden, bang, just out of nowhere, it happens. I believe He's going to do that with my daughter. I believe He's going to do that with our loved ones that we're praying for. Our opening scripture this morning was 1 Corinthians 11, it's 23 through 26. I'm going to read verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show, we declare, we testify, the Lord's death, till He comes. Till He comes. It doesn't say if. It says till. It says He's coming. 2 Peter 3, 3 through 4, 3 and 4. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts. Literally, mockers will come mocking. Walking after their own lust, saying, where is the promise of His coming? Since the fathers passed away, all things have continued, just like they always have. He goes on to talk about the flood, that maybe not necessarily all things have continued. But do we hear that today? We've been waiting so long for Jesus, a lot of people have given up. And it's always been like that. Aaron built us gods that we can worship. For this Moses that brought us out of Egypt, we don't know what happened to him. He's been gone for 40 days. He's probably not coming back. Isn't that the same thing? Ephesians 1:10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. In the fullness of time, an appointed time. Hebrews 10:37 quotes Habakkuk. For yet a little while, and He that shall come and will not tarry. The vision is yet for an appointed time. And He will come. Does God keep his promises? And Daniel chapter 9, 25, and the first sentence of 26. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks. That's weeks of years, by the way. Most of you know that. And 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall, even in troublous time. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. What's that a prediction of? That's a prediction of Jesus Christ, his first coming. That's a prediction of him when he rode on that donkey into Jerusalem. Jesus said in Luke 19:41-42, well, it says, when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. This thine day, in other words, that was the exact day that Daniel predicted it would be. Those religious leaders should have known that. God is always on time. In Exodus 12:41, he had made a prayer, promise to Abraham. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the self same day, it came to pass that all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. The self same day. God is always on time. Ezekiel was told to lay on his side for 390 days and on his left side for 390 days and on his right side for 40 days. 1 day for each year of Israel's iniquity. This was the number of years that Israel would be sentenced to captivity. Jeremiah said they would serve 70 of those years in Babylon and God would suspend the rest of the sentence. Of course, that's conditional, isn't it? That's based on their obedience. It's based on their... Anyway. After exactly 70 years, Cyrus issued a decree releasing them to return to the land of Israel. You know what amazes me is Isaiah 45, Cyrus is mentioned 140 years before he lived. He called him by name. Did Cyrus know that? He said, no. He said, talking to Cyrus, he said, you don't know me. So it isn't like you knew me and you knew this was going to happen. You knew this prediction was there. He didn't know the Bible. But yet he was mentioned by name. God said, I'm doing this so you'll know I'm the Lord when it happens. Anyway, after 70 years, Cyrus issued a decree releasing them to go back to the land of Israel. If you read in Ezra and also Nehemiah, you see that only a few people went back. Oh, there's a few thousand. But actually, it was a very small percentage of the people that went back to Israel. God didn't like that. God was displeased. In Leviticus 26:18, God had said, and if you will not yet for all this hearken unto me, then I will punish you 7 times more for your sins. In other words, you don't just have to finish the sentence, but I'm going to multiply what's left by 7. So the original sentence was 430 years minus the 70 years already served. It became 2,520 years, added to the date of Cyrus's decree. You know when it ended? May 15, 1948. They say May 14, 15. I was confused about that, but the day... The 15th actually starts the night before, so it's 14/15. God is always on time. Of course, there was two things that happened nearly 20 years apart because they went back again out of Babylon. And that date comes out to, I think it's June 8, 1967. Revelation 22:20, he which testifies these things saying, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Till he comes. One of the things that we do here at communion is we show we're waiting. We're waiting for him to come back and fulfill what this represents. This is part of a marriage contract. He offered the wine, and if we drink the wine, we're accepting his proposal of marriage. And after he says that, after he does that, he says, I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come back and get you. That's what the groom says to the bride after she accepts his proposal, after she drinks the wine. How many believe he will come? How many believe he'll be right on time? Even so, come Lord Jesus. When you're ready, help us to be ready. Obviously, he still has some things to do. But we're getting close, aren't we? This morning is Communion Sunday. And I'm going to ask Ricky and Bob, there you are. I had a hard time picking you out in the crowd there, Bob. Where's Bob? Anybody seen Bob? I've asked them to hand out the elements, so I'm going to ask them to come forward now and do that. In verse 28, it says, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. What we need to do is we need to talk to God to make sure that we are, if there's problems, we think there's a problem in doing this, then talk to God about it. Make it right. It says so that he'll be able to. Anyway, let's take the time as these are being passed out to talk to God. If you need forgiveness of sins, if you have problems with anybody, talk to God about it. Make it right. So that you can take communion. Has everybody been served? Did we miss anybody? Okay. I don't know why I closed up my Bible. I'm not through with it. Never through with your Bible, are you? For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Lord, we thank you for this bread. We thank you, Lord, for the body that you allowed to be beaten and nailed to a cross. We thank you, Lord, for giving your life for us. You may eat the bread. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the new testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Lord, we thank you for this cup. We thank you, Lord, for the blood that you shed for us. In Jesus' name, you may drink the cup. Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim, kings and kingdoms shall all pass away, but there's something about that name. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the sacrifice that you made for us. You who knew no sin became sin and a sin offering for us. You who had done nothing wrong were punished for the things that we did wrong. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord. Lord, bless your people. Lord, help us to stay focused on you. Help us, Lord, to keep waiting. And help us, Lord, to be prepared, to be ready when you come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, everybody, for coming this morning. That concludes our service.